Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. We're glad to have our visitors back there with us. And the little one might not be able to understand, but the older one can. If you come one time, you're a visitor. Two times, you're just a part of us. So we just appreciate you coming and say welcome. And now remember, the Lord willing, this coming Saturday will be the dedication over at Brother Joe and Sister Gwen's new home. So, you know, make sure you're there at 3 o'clock. I believe that's right, 3 o'clock. All right, if you need directions, just follow somebody else, not mine. And, but I think it'll be easy to find. It's out on Price, close to Price Road in their area, so you know everybody ought to be able to find it. Amen. And I think that's that. All announcements. We have any announcements to be made? I don't think so. Yeah, we can't have Bible study on the first Saturday, and let's see, the next Saturday. The second Saturday. Is that okay?
Yeah,
because we're going to be gone the first part of the week, I know. And I didn't know, so we're making sure. All right, so the Bible study for the month of October will be on the second Saturday, not the first Saturday. 6 o'clock here at the church. Come and be with us. We're on justification and sanctification and all. And so just come and be with us and have a good time together. Amen? All right. Like turning your scripture, turn to Revelations 1 and Revelation 6. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this day and the opportunity of gathering together. And we ask you to just help us, Lord, to understand. Give us of thy grace and love and understanding. Let your light shine in each one of our hearts and lives. And Lord, just come tonight and speak to us. And Lord, let your great understanding come down and dwell in each one of our hearts, because that's what we've gathered for, not to just come and sing and do things, but to hear from you. So just have your way. Remember the sick ones, Lord. Remember Sister Kathy Buckner there, Lord, and just touch her tonight and deliver her from all of that problems. And we just ask you to bless, Lord, and let your light shine in each heart. And remember the sick here among us, Father, touch each one. We love you and we thank you. As we read your word, you come and speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelations 1, 1 through 3 that we've been reading for a while. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who by record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. What is the time? The time to understand. We're in the end time, so it's time to understand. Okay, Revelations chapter 6, in verse 3. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we've got over in our studies, and we're dealing now a little bit with just catching a few points from the seals and the things as they unfold unto us. And it's a study of the book of Revelations, and we're trying to see the day and the hour that we're living, because that's the promise unto us, is to find out where we're at. All right, so that would be the day. All right, you remember now, we've been speaking on the first seal, which was Revelations 6, 1 and 2, and we saw that the rider on the white horse was the Antichrist. And we read there in the scripture, you can read it in verse 1 and 2, especially verse 2, that he had a bow and no arrows, so his power was no good, or even what little bit he thought he had. And we know that this Antichrist is Satan in the teaching ministry, or the beginning of the, of his ride, because it's a white horse. And as it is, then he had had a bow and no arrows, so he's just a bluffing. And that's what Satan went out in that early church, but he done a mighty good job, of doing it. All right, but he had no crown. See, then it was a spirit, because you can't crown it had to be an Antichrist, because you can't crown a spirit. Right. Satan couldn't wear a crown himself. There'd be no way that he could put a crown on his own head, because he's not a man like we are. He's not in this form to where that he could be crowned. So he had to come to earth and be crowned. It's kind of like he done in the garden. In the garden, he couldn't he couldn't inject himself into the human race, because he was not a creator. Amen. All right, only God can create. But he could pervert, and vicariously, the prophet said, or by use of the beast, then he was able to, enter the human race as much as possible, not physically, but as much as through the beast, to produce the beast was what... The beast and Eve was what was produced Cain, and then that spirit was the spirit of Satan. And we'll get back to it at the end of the message, where Brother Brown said these seals, they moved down, or moved up, he said, is basically the word, moved up from Genesis, because everything starts in Genesis. So that white horse rider that we talk about, the Antichrist, you can see that Antichrist started in the garden. All right. It started through the deception of being there, and it captured Eve, and allowed the way of Satan to be able to vicariously enter the human race, not be able to himself, but through the beast, he could pervert the whole human race. Amen. All right, then that would ride all the way down through the Bible. I hope that you're getting it that way. I hope you're listening to what I'm saying. That what we see here, and we see it over in our day, we can go all the way back. Because Brother Brown said one seal will tie the entire Bible together. Just one seal, see. You could preach every scripture in the Bible, in other words, from one seal. I know it, I don't know a whole lot, but I sure have been at it 40-something years of preaching the first seal to, from Genesis. Because at least I can see that and bring it down, but, bringing it to where we're at. All right. And as he did, see, that spirit went forth deceiving the people. Because once Eve done what she done, then God could not come down and inhabit the bodies, our spirit, soul, a part of mankind in the Old Testament, because it became perverted. All right. Then he was purely just looking at a time that would come that he would be able to come down himself and enter into the human race to change things, and that would have to be 4,000 years later for Jesus Christ to be born. But that spirit of Satan has deceived man from the beginning.
Amen.
All right. Now, we'll drop back at the end of the message on this, but look at it as in Cain. When you come over to Cain and Abel, you know, we think about that as being maybe just a few days' time, but it might have been years in developing. Because, see, that Antichrist spirit of Satan, and I use that because that ties together with the Antichrist spirit, the devil now. He's in form of the Antichrist spirit still riding. We'll get to that in a moment. But yet, see, there in the garden, or right at the edge of the garden, you see Cain and Abel. All right. Now, you know that Abel was trying his best to help Cain to see the truth. Right. And he was surely telling him that he was born in his mama's blood, from his daddy's blood, what the problem was. Well, all through life, you know, you can see them, but yet it didn't develop too much. But yet Cain, he just couldn't believe that. And so he believed that it was fruit, some kind of an apple like people today think, you know. Some kind of an apple or orange or pomegranate or something. And see, as he did, then that thing just kept building inside of him. All right? And as it built within him, he became then, as we know of the second stages, we'll get to it in a minute, he became then a prophet or a preacher to his doctrine. And he was telling Abel, you know, you're wrong. It's not blood. You're wrong. It's works. Huh? Real good. I'm out here slaving like everything, and you're just laying up there watching them sheep. And, you know. Now, you got to realize they had to be on up in age because they come to the time of offering a sacrifice. And you wouldn't have done that at 10 years old or whatever. So, like I'm saying, this thing developed over a long period of time. All right? But when it finally developed, see, then as Cain began to tell Abel his doctrine, then you look at it and see that he finally became incarnate with that doctrine. And when he did, it just went too far. He shed the first blood. Because he killed his brother because of his own doctrine. You say, well, no, no, Brother Dale, people are not that bad. And they'll kill you today over anything. So you ought to know that. You know, I mean, if you're blind, then you're blind, but all you got to do is pick up a newspaper in the morning and just read how many people in there got killed by somebody that shot them, you know, whatever it was. A lot of killing going on today. You can't even turn on a newsreel without it being something about somebody being killed. Somebody going into school, killing a bunch of kids. Where do you think that come from? That's what we're going to see tonight, because it's the red horse when we get to the symbol. And you'll see that he's still riding. And he's been riding from Genesis. That deceiving spirit back there, he took everybody and deceived them, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And it became a great religious society. How could you lay one thing to the charge of those Pharisees? How could you condemn them of doing wrong? They didn't play games back then. Now, you might have all this garbage cans in these convents and all the stuff going on today, but they didn't play back there, because it was life or death for those Pharisees and Sadducees. If they didn't keep that word, somebody else took their place. You know? So it wasn't just haphazardly doing it. But see, it just kept easing in so slowly. Amen. Until when it finally came down that They started killing. They started destroying, as we'll see in a minute. They started killing for any thought or idea of their own. But what's that point of what I'm talking about? And don't lose it, because we're going to deal in a minute with where that this writer, it's the same rider on all four horses. All right? And that's what I wanted you to see. See, in that first seal, that broke to the prophet, that he could see that rider. And he would see that rider, we could do it and say, as it rolled all the way down. He said, and it's still riding. He was talking about in his day. All right? He said they ride out to eternity. All right? So don't just think that he gets off of one horse and goes home. No, the horse is a symbol. But the prophet saw that, see, in the first seal, that it would be the same rider. Well, it's been the same devil all the time.
Right.
All right. Always been that. He's always been in the form of first deceiving. Now, the devil ain't going to walk into a church and say, y'all fall down and worship me, I'm the devil. No. He don't care how long it takes.
That's right.
That's one thing about it. He might not have the patience or the stature of a perfect man, but the devil's got a lot of patience. Because he don't care how long it takes for him to get a doctrine embedded into people. He'll do it with just little bitty sayings. What got him thrown out of heaven? Come on. What got Lucifer thrown out of heaven? Satan. A doctrine. The doctrine was that he was equal with God. That he was God's right-hand man. And he was wanting worship himself. See, that Antichrist spirit started all the way back there and worked its way all the way down. All right. Now watch this in the second seal when we come to the red horse. And then in your mind, just remember that it's killing. It's the blood. That's what the symbolics is. You know. That's why it's red. The first one was a white. The prophet calls it a white righteous church. Now, why would he call it a white righteous church? Because you couldn't put your finger on it. But you realize one thing. That great mighty church started out on the day of Pentecost. Wonderful. But after a while, it began to die down. Right? It didn't take no 1,000 years. Right there in the book of Acts, Philetus and Hymenaeus was teaching. Paul had to turn them loose. And they were, are they the same ones that was teaching that the resurrection was already past? They're in the book of Acts. The prophet said when Christ went up, he said, there was Judas hanging on a tree. That spirit. He said, but when the Holy Ghost came back on the day of Pentecost, he said that Antichrist spirit came right back.
Right.
Trying to defile the church.
Yeah.
And it wasn't long until he had it defiled.
Yeah.
Right? You say, oh no, he didn't, to the real true bride. Well, that's that Antichrist spirit still working. Okay? Does that offend you if me say it that way? See, if you think that Satan is not capable of deceiving you and me,
right,
you better remember he has deceived everybody.
Right.
Even as I brought out Sunday, Your prophet was deceived.
Because
he thought that white horse rider was a Holy Ghost. So until those seals broke, there was nobody knowed the truth. I don't care who you are. I don't mean that derogatory. I just mean it truthfully. I don't care who you are to think what you think this way or that way. If you wasn't deceived with it, we need to be following you instead of Brother Bradham. Don't you realize what that devil's doing? If you can straighten Brother Branham out like they're doing today in every way, then we need to be following somebody else. But I'm not going to turn loose, folks.
Amen.
You can do what you want to. I've done come 40-something years following this message, and I can't find no problems with it. And I challenge that around the world.
Amen.
Come and show me the fallacies. Show me the wrong. Show me where he was off. See? But just remember before you come that you're going to walk up to somebody who's going to say, "Boo, devil." Because I'm going to know who I'm talking to. You remember I told you about that man at work down there? He said he wouldn't. This Pentecostal preacher, he said, I'm not working on commanding the devil. I've done got past that. I just command the devil. He said, I'm working on commanding the Lord. I said, what? He said, you know the Bible there where it says, command ye me. He said, I'm commanding God. I never did talk to him no more, and I'm honest. I'd wave at him, hi. But we didn't talk anymore. Why? Because I was talking to the booger man. And I didn't care nothing about talking to him.
Right.
Now you tell me, no, that was, he was a good man. He'd probably give you anything in the world. But that spirit had him captivated. He was a false prophet to that spirit. See? That had captivated him. That he thought he could command God. That doesn't mean command ye me. That means take my word and believe it and I'll make it manifest. That's what it means. It doesn't mean command the Lord. You don't command God, but you believe what he says. And he'll move on the scene. I've done seen it too many times, so I don't have to worry about it. But now listen. See, a white righteous church, in other words, it looks so beautiful. We went through it there. John admired that church on Patmos. The scripture said he admired the church. If you went back there and looked at those people when Jesus walked in there, whose side would you have been on? Oh, I'd have been on Jesus' side. Well, why ain't you now? Whose side are you on now? Any problems with my stubbornness, man? Hard ways of saying things. And one thing about it, the prophet said, you make it easy, they'll think you're trying to deceive them. I don't make it easy. I just make it plain.
Amen.
But look, whose side would we have been on?
Right.
There was the Pharisees. I don't know why I've got off this off my notes, okay. There's them good old Pharisees. Who was there when the babies were born? Who was there when the sick was sick? And who gave them money? And who blessed them all the time? And told them how wonderful they were. And Jesus comes in just beating the daylights out of him with a whip. Of course, I'm glad he didn't, and I know he didn't. You know who he whipped was the preachers. It wasn't just a regular old laity that he's beating on. I'm glad of that. Because I've had that people argue with me about that. They say, oh, Jesus didn't hit them people. He beat them animals. I said, you're worse off. The animal didn't have nothing to do with it. You're making him worse off than the Bible says. Yeah. And goats and things didn't have nothing to do with it. But listen, church. See, that Antichrist has worked its way all the way down. And it's still here. Look at the doctrines among the people of this message now. It's moved from little spirits to doctrines, right? Now, come on. Some of you been in churches now. And when I get through with this point, you've been in churches that told you if you left that church, you was out. Oh, maybe not, you know, in a way. Oh, they didn't point you. You're out. You know, no. They taught you that. See? That if you left them, you left the Word. Now, that's beyond the Antichrist spirit. That's even beyond the false prophet that teaches the doctrine. That's the third stage, which is an incarnate false prophet or a pope. You ain't never heard this man say, if you leave here, you've left the Word. I've never said that about nobody's ever left. That's your choice. But listen, church. Do you realize that incarnate false prophet? That's where we're going to get to in a minute. There's where your pope came into being. And there's where your killing started. How close is it? There's a lot of people in this message that they don't want me dead. They're not mean. They just wish I'd finally lose my voice and I couldn't preach. Well, I'll eat cough drops till the day I die or something. You know. I wonder, do you pray for my voice? Or pray for me to quit sometimes? The way it's working out, sometimes I think you're praying for me to quit. Maybe we'll learn something from that. But church, you'll see in a minute, when this thing comes to that incarnate false prophet, that's when you start your killing. And when a person becomes one with the doctrine they're in, you cannot do anything else with them. You say, God can. I learned something a long time ago in two incidences. And I'm probably working on the third one now. You know, I used to pray, God, can't you straighten things out? When God knew from the bottom of my heart, I didn't mean take the person's life to get it straight. I meant straighten up the person. Well, you know what? I finally had to do it myself. But you better believe I patiently waited for a long time until I had the word of the Lord. Then when I have the word of the Lord, I'm not afraid of nobody. Amen. Because I'm going to disbelieve it until he changes me. But see, a lot of times you want your arguments, you won't say, well, Lord, can't you work out something? Maybe you ought to speak up. Now, this is not your women praying that the Lord straighten your husband out and give him a good timid spirit. Yeah. I'm not talking about that now. We're talking about doctrines, okay? Not talking about the men praying, well, Lord, I wish you'd take that old dominating spirit off of her. Those things, I guess, we need to work out ourselves.
Amen. There you go. That's right.
You say, well, you know, why can't we? Yeah, you pray. Need to pray. Like I told a man here a while back, I need the prayer, brother. And that's it. And you need the practice. He said, you mean you need the prayer? I said, I didn't say I needed the the practice. I said, you need to practice. You need to pray. But, you know, now listen. To watch the seal as it unfolds now. And you'll see that it's going into the stage of the Pope. The second seal, see, it will turn out to be when the Pope got his authority, he wrote a decree that it was better to serve God by force than to not serve him at all. And by their own records, there are 68 million people were killed trying to force them to worship. Now, how much of a doctrinal idea do you think it would be that you would get to where you could just cut people's throats because they didn't believe the way you believe? I mean, anybody with one-eyed high sense, brother, you say years ago, ought to know better now. I used to tell Brother Moat, you know. I finally got to work. The old devil, he'd just tell me, I'd be driving down the road, Brother Moat be talking about this message. And boy, he'd be laying it on over there. And a voice would say to me, say, just run off the road on his side and hit a tree. You say, what? I'm just telling it like it is. You lie. Because you sweethearts, lovey-dovey things, you know, I just tell it like it is. So one day I told him, I said, Brother Moat, you know what's happening right now? He said, what? I said, there's a devil trying to tell me to run off the road and run you into a tree. We got a good life out of it. But see, no, we're sweet. Lovey-dovey. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They didn't think Jesus was too lovey-dovey when he whipped him preachers and run them out of the church. Whose side will we have been on? Because we are on the side now we would have been on then. One way or the other. Okay. Now let's just come down, because I'm trying to lay down something, but I want it to tie together where you can see something. So the first seal, as it comes forth, it was a church symbol. White. Pure looking. Everything looked great. But inside of it was death. I was looking today before I left. I should have brought it. Maybe it's in one of my notes. I don't know. Brother Run said it was death from the beginning. He said, but it was never was called death until the eagle came.
Right.
Because it deceived everybody.
Right.
The death that was killing people deceived everybody. Huh? So we went through the first seal and saw then the symbols. Now remember what I said, the white horse rider, the rider himself. Sure, that was a mystery. Nobody knowed what that was. But once that first seal opened and Brother Branham saw the Antichrist, then he knew the next rider on the red horse was the same fellow. He knew he would not change. The rider would be the same. Because it's not a white guy sitting on a white horse and a red guy sitting on a red horse and a black guy sitting on a black horse and a pale guy sitting on a pale horse. That ain't in your Bible. That's not that way. So the rider, once he seen that rider, he knew whatever. He said, I don't know. We're reading it. I don't know what that second seal is. But he knew the rider. He said, I don't know what that third, fourth, fifth. But he knew the rider. He knew who he's looking at. That's what I told you. When I preached it the first time, you go through it and look, but... See, there were some things I brought in the other day that the Lord showed me about those seals that after 40-something years preaching them, it's still opening. Same rider. Not a different color rider, different color horse.
Right.
So once the symbol broke to the prophet, the rider was settled. But that still didn't tell him what the whole full second seal was.
Right.
It didn't show him what the third seal fully was. Fourth, whatever. And then you better remember, there is no riders after you get on over there to the four. There's not a rider on the fifth, and there's not a combat beast on the fifth. Sixth or seventh. Go back and read your book. All right. It's a great mystery. But what? That first seal, he had a bow and no arrows. He started out with no power. Just sayings. Just sayings. Just little bitty things. You know them demons up in heaven, I think about that a lot. And look, Satan deceived a third of them. And they begin to say, you know, I think he's prettier than God is. Don't you think we're to worship him? Then they started worshiping the devil, Lucifer. The anointed, the morning star, the great demon, Lucifer. And that's just still going on. Because that's what he's wanting. See, God created you and I for what? Worship, fellowship, and doing right. That's what Satan wants. Yeah. See, it was just a teaching. Because there was no arrows. He didn't have any crown. The Bible said there in the first seal, and a crown was given to him. Remember we covered that the other day. Who gave him the crown? The people.
Right.
Once he got control of them.
Right.
Once he taught his doctrine so much. If you think I ain't right, you go find some of these people and some of these doctrines, and you say something about the guy that started their group, and you see if they want blood rise up in their eyeballs.
Right.
All right. See, a false prophet, we found out what? Is one who teaches what the Antichrist spirit is saying. You remember that?
Yeah.
We brought it out from the prophet. A false prophet then. So what did it happen? Philetus and Hymenaeus and them started out. They had become one with an Antichrist spirit. So they were teaching the resurrection was already past. You know where they were getting their doctrine from? Paul. Right? Well, Paul was teaching that spiritual resurrection had already taken place in the new birth. They took it on over to the physical. Brother Branham preaching what? He was preaching into eternal life inside of us. And that would one day bring this mortal under subjection to the one within. I'm not going to call his name, but a man went out preaching immortality in the flesh. Claimed he wasn't getting older. Let his hair grow out and combed it around to cover up the bald spots. Somebody said something to Brother Branham. He said, he gets the tapes. He's heard the message. Man went about the country. Still got followers after him passing on. As far as I know, he's passed on. But you see, when truth is presented, there'll always be Antichrist demons follow that truth to pervert it.
Right.
Because that's what's always happened. Right? See, when somebody starts preaching, come on, anybody wants to swap places with me? Because I stand here and preach. I've been at 40-something years with you. Preaching to you. Knowing and realizing if I tell you a lie, if I mislead it purposely, I don't have no place in heaven. I got enough sense to realize that. Know it, if I try to deceive you with something, I don't have no hopes of going to heaven. You want to swap places with me? And realize that you've got a group of people depending upon what you're saying. I have no problems. I didn't call myself. I'd sure like to quit. That's up to him. I've preached my life's message. He can take care of it. Until then, I'll still try to hammer the truth. But see, when a man becomes one with the Spirit, he'll start preaching what that Spirit is saying. And that makes him a prophet. I'm quoting from the first seal. Read your seal book. I've asked you to. But how many of you have read the seal? How many of you read the first seal? How many are going to go home now and read the second seal? Sister come to me a while ago and said, Brother Dale said, once you preach, y'all did on that, you'd wait on the Daniel 70 weeks. He said, I went back and got my book and started reading. And said, that drawing that Brother Branham was talking about is right there in the Word. I said, that's exactly what it's supposed to be. He was the prophet. All right. See, that's the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to go home and do the studying. I'm studying to preach. Not studying to do anything. And if you want me, you say, well, Brother Dale, tell me what to do. Read the seal book. One more time. Read the seal book. That's where I'm preaching from. If you was in college, you walk in and ask the professor, is there anything I can do to help me get better grades? He'd say, just go home and sit down and fold your arms and forget it. I'll take care of it. Well, I'd get out of there, wouldn't you? Because you know that ain't going to work. He's going to sign something for you to read. I ain't got time. Stay out of Walmart. You have time. Come on. Church, it's time to just get it or get out. Because this is death. That white horse rider was death to start with. But nobody knew what it was. Nobody knowed it until that eagle come. And when he came, he knew it was death. So just follow it. See, a false teacher of a false doctrine becomes a false prophet. All right? See, then we was covering our last, this past Sunday, or not, no, it was Wednesday before, excuse me, okay. A crown was given to him. A crown was given unto him. The people gave him a crown.
Right.
What? A triple ruling crown.
Right.
What about a man that could just take the Bible, make it say what he wants to, and then people believe him? There's no such thing as purgatory, but because he said there was.
Right.
Now, listen, folks. I got it written in here somewhere, so if I repeat, it's all right. The first pope that was crowned, he didn't go out and have people killed that didn't believe what he believed. St. Augustine, I believe it is, a hippo with 1,500 and something. A lot of them popes were good people. You know what they were? Bishops. Elders of the early church. I gave you the quote last week where Brother Ron said 300 years later. So that would have been somewhere around 325, upwards going to 350, if you'd be everywhere he would want to calculate to start from, the book of Acts or whatever. They crowned a pope. But you know, them guys were good people.
Right.
They weren't killers. Because he had to be as an antichrist. If they'd have crowned the first pope and he walked out, anybody differs me, you're dead. Well, everybody would have left him.
Right.
No. Had to get them tied to him.
Right.
So he started a doctrine of purgatory. Now, you know it, and we have a sister sitting here that was Catholic for a long time, and I'm not against them, no problems. It's just stating truth. They didn't start right out with these false doctrines. It took quite a while to get these doctrines going. Mary, the mother of God, appeared about 341. And then it didn't even appear as being the mother of God, etc., like they would bring it today. But it was entered into the Nicene Creed at about 341. The first Nicene Creed states emphatically, Jesus was God, Almighty God, and no other God, and no other substance. Most of you wouldn't even never, you've never read it. Most of the preachers in this message, they preach about Nicene Council and never even read anything about it. Go read the book. Well, I just take what Brother Brown said. Brother Brown said it started out 325 A.D. What started at 325 A.D.? The only thing they done at the Nicene Council of 325 A.D. was injected a seed, a antichrist spirit, that Jesus was a light substance. It was 606 before they changed the water baptism. Come on, get what I'm saying. That first crown pope was a good guy. It took a while before the bad eggs began to appear. Even though he was already a pope. But his first thing was to do was establish a purgatory. Catholic doctrine. All people go to hell. Priest, pope, whoever he is, he's going to purgatory. We use the word hell. It's Sheol, Gehenna, Hades. There's many meanings for the word hell. And everybody that dies got to go there. You know why? Now, why would he create that thing? You know what I mean? He created it, didn't he? He created it in the minds of the people. Yeah. Come on. He didn't create purgatory. Come on. Don't be carnal with me. I'm carnal enough as it is. He, in their minds, created a purgatory.
Right.
That their family went to. And then what do? Pay money to get them out.
Right?
Well, then you can't leave the Catholic Church till you get mama out of hell. Come on, that ain't a joke. You ain't gonna leave till you get grandma out of purgatory. So it's a big money scheme, right? But it's a big control scheme. Controlling the minds of the people until they become so captivated by the Antichrist spirit, until it becomes a doctrine within them. And they go by and they do the signs and the different things. To a piece of bread laying on an altar that rats is running over all night. We call it the body of God. It deceived Martin Luther until God spoke to him. Come on. But it took a long time before the Pope got his final triple ruling crown. He didn't start out with it at 325 A.D. even. He didn't get it at 606. I don't know exactly when they did crown him that part, but Brother Run said they crowned him about 300 years later. But even when they crowned him a pope, he didn't start out as a devil killing. They had to wait until a pope would sign a decree as believing he was in God's stead and could say what God said. Right? The crown was given to him. The crown was given by the people. That man wasn't sitting out there. Come on, I know I'm carnal. He's sitting up on a throne. And here comes a crown down out of heaven. Bloop. Now, I ain't that dumb. I hope you ain't. The people gave him the crown. The people put the crown on him. Who crowned David? King of Israel. Come on, it was the people. See, they gave him the crown. That crown, I told you there last Wednesday, that crown was not given of God. That crown was given of man. The power didn't come down from God for the devil to be able to work through man to kill all those 68 million. Sure, we know. It was allowed. It was allowed to come into being. But not given of God. God never made no hell or nothing like that. You say he made it for the devil and his angels? Yeah, that's why he can destroy it. But see, he was given a triple ruling crown. Ruler over heaven and earth and purgatory. To rule with. Go ahead, Brother Anderson, pull up number one. Some of these, we had them before, so we'll just read them again. What was it? When he come to crowning time, then he become the false prophet of this Antichrist teaching. Get it? Then he gets a sword because he unites his powers together. Then he know how to ask nobody. Okay. He's governor of the state. Let's see. He's governor of heaven. Receives a triple crown, makes himself an idea called purgatory, where if some of them died back there and they got some money they want to pay them out, he can pray them out of it because he's got the power to do so. He's a vicar. Certainly he is. He takes the place of God on earth. If that ain't as plain as anybody, we find it, pull it on down through the Bible and count his numerical numbers and everything else. Here he is. Play him up back here in the number four, not number three, number four. Huh? What is he? Bring him down through the Bible. 666. Vicarius Filii Dei, which is written over the triple ruling crown of Rome. Take that down into Roman numeral, or however you say the numeral number, and it comes out to be 666. Well, Brother Dale, your name might be 666. Don't bother me if it is. Al can remember we was getting some gas one night, and I pumped in the gas, turned the pump off, started to turn around. He said, Brother Dale, I'd put in another penny. I said, why? Look at the pump. It's 666. I just laugh like everything. Your name might be numerical numbers of 666, but you don't sit on a throne and rule the world. So that takes care of that problem. I don't either. Right? So if you took Billy Graham and made his name 666, or Roberts or whatever, it wouldn't make no difference. He's not the triple ruling crown of Rome. All right? But you see, then you bring him down to that, and who is he? Look at the next one. That was paragraph 162, the fourth seal. This is paragraph 301 of the first seal. Notice when Nicolaitia, see, Antichrist is finally, he's incarnate in a man, and he's crowned. When he starts off as a Nicolaitia spirit in the church, and a spirit in the church. He's a spirit. You can't crown a spirit, but 300 years later, he become a pope. And then they crowned him. He had no crown to start with, but he got a crown later, see. When that spirit became incarnate, see, he become a man. Look, now you got a man. That's the man of sin sitting in the temple of God. Nicolaitan doctrine become a man. Then he could crown it. They couldn't do it because it was just a doctrine. See? Abel had a doctrine of the blood. Cain had a doctrine of fruit and works. Works, especially, if you'd call it. I've even heard preachers in this message, and you have too, even in this church, tried to preach that the Bible says that Abel's offering was more excellent than Cain, reading Genesis. So thereby, Cain's offering must have been excellent. Abel's was more excellent. I just told him, I said, listen, what are you dealing with? You mean it would be all right to do what Cain done to go to heaven? That represents works. Need to be leaving the blood of Jesus Christ out of your doctrine? I said, I don't like that idea. Of course, it didn't make me popular with the brother that said it, but I couldn't help it. Have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? Listen, church. He was crowned when the people give it to him. The head false prophet. Now you notice the way I said that. Well, that's what it would work out to be. As it was coming down through the prophets to those false systems. And then they finally made a bishop, you know, to be over the doings. And then they would make like an overseer or something. As your ranks would grow, ever what it would be. And it finally came down to one man. And then they got together and elected. And I get so tickled at that. You know, they tell all them cardinals, I reckon that's who does it, in cardinals, and they all get together and they vote on who's going to be God. Come on.
Right.
They do. It's not just one name in the pot.
Right.
There's a lot of names in the pot. Then they vote on who's going to be God. Okay. Like I said, I ain't that far off. The head false prophet, the head guy, finally became the crown pope. All right. They elected him and made him a pope. All right. Then the cardinals since that time have come down. See, church, most people don't even read like the Nicene councils and pre-Nicene councils, and there's all kind of councils was held. The writings that I have in my briefcase right in there shows you that they even count the fact that when, and I told you about it the other day, when James was trying to convince them there in the book of Acts that to Paul and them that they needed to circumcise them people, them Gentiles, before he'd let them come in. They call that a council meeting. They call that a Nicene meeting. There were hundreds of Nicene meetings held before 325 AD. What's the hard part of it, or the odd part, is that 325 AD was called by the Roman Emperor. The Roman Emperor called the 325 AD. Come on, read a little bit. All right. Look at the next one. Okay, 155 through 158 of the fourth seal. See, the writer of the first place as an antichrist, he was death to begin with. You remember that a while ago when I was quoting it? But he's innocent then. And he received a crown, a triple one. And when he did, then he united. Satan unites his church and state because he was over both of them. Antichrist was Satan in form of a man. Come on down to a pope. You remember what I said? The 325 AD was called by the Roman general, Roman emperor. That's when you brought in the governmental side. Before then, it was a church system. Then it became a governmental system. He started giving them all kind of things. Buildings and all kind of things. All right. And then also St. Matthew, I believe it is, the fourth chapter. And watch this. Tells us that Satan took Jesus, our Lord, up and showed him the kingdoms of the world. All of them in a moment of time and in the glory of them, offered them to him, and he said that they were his. Brother Ryan said, Jesus never argued with him. All of this stuff belongs to Satan. All of these good, I don't care where it's Romney, Obama, whoever it is. I told you the other day, what they ought to do is make the Pope be the President of the United States and get this thing to going. But listen. So you see then, if you can unite it, if he can unite his state and his church together, then the red horse rider could ride sure enough. Now watch. If it hadn't have been Constantine and the Romans, you know, the Romans came in and started doing, and it became the Roman Catholics, it became all those things, they couldn't have started killing the people. Right? The government would be against it. You take a gun today and just walk down the street and go, well, God told me to kill, well, they're going to put you in jail because the law is going to get you. But if the law is on your side and said it's all right for you to do that, right? Then they just let you go. So we had to wait until you got church and state to come together. That's what I said. Those popes down through there wasn't too bad until they got together with the state. And then when they got together with the state, what happened? Okay, go ahead with number four. We've done read this one before, but paragraph 160. Now I want you to notice the four of them. Notice the off mark of four, the spiritual mathematics. God is threes. This is four, talking about Satan, Antichrist. He's in four here. First, Antichrist, white. Right? First, Antichrist, white. Number one. Second, false prophet, red. That's putting your horses and everything together, right? Third, watch it. Vipers of heaven and earth and purgatory, black. Your third horse. All right. Now watch the lights. Third. Fourth is the beast, the pale horse. And he can't happen until we get out of here in the rapture. All right. Now, he talks about in the next one that we've been through, so pull it up and you can sit there and read on it a little bit. Paragraph 184, number 5. Now, Satan's Trinity. Same person coming, just incarnate from one to the other. That's the way them bugs did. Now, you know what the bugs are. The cankerworm, palmworm, locust, caterpillar. That was the bugs. That was what ate it down, Joel said. That's what ate it down through the church ages. Nicolaitan, what? Now, watch him. Spiritual Antichrist. Pope, false prophet, beast. The devil himself becomes incarnate in that beast. All right? Now, so let's just take a little bit, just for a minute. I don't know, I ain't going to get done. Let's just take a little bit. Go ahead. Number 6, pull it up. I'll try to be hurry. Now the Lamb is standing tonight as we enter into the 6th chapter. He's got the book in his hand and starting to reveal it. Now notice that's on the first seal. Oh, I would have absolutely today, and I hope that people are spiritual. I would have had a horrible mistake on that if it hadn't been about 12 o'clock today when the Holy Spirit came in the room and corrected me on something that it was writing down to say. Now, that's what I told you a while ago. He was deceived until the seal broke to him. Now, that's what he's saying, right? All right. I was taking it from old context. I had nothing on it. I don't know what the second seal is, no more than nothing. Now, watch it. But I got some old context. And he talks about around 12 o'clock, the Holy Spirit swept down in the room, and the whole thing just opened up to me, and there it was, the first seal being open. Go ahead to the next quote. This is on the third seal. All right. Last night we found out the same rider that rode the white horse was the same one on the red one. The voice said in the midst of the beast, called out, see, come and see what it was. He was in his living creature, all right? And he saw this black horse. The voice tells his measure of wheat for penny. Now, we won't get to that. The main thing I want you to see is right up here. White horse, red horse, all of them is going to be the same. One rider. Then we'll get back to the seal part. All right? Go ahead to the next one. Number 8. Paragraph 273. Same rider now. His first stage, he was innocent. On second, now if you went a little bit higher, a little bit more than that, and in the second stage, the Bible said he'd be given a crown, and they crowned a man, a Superman, see, crowned him, and then the Bible didn't call him a pope. The Bible don't call the beast a pope. The prophet called him a pope.
Right.
The Bible don't call him that because you'd know all about it.
Right.
I mean, if it had come out there and the Bible said, now the pope is the Antichrist.
Yep.
You know that thing that come out the other day? You better look down at the bottom of them and see when the dates of that is. That thing didn't come out the other day. It came out in 2009. Why has it been kept so secret if it's truth? That's why I'm not touching it until it's fully made known. Because the date on the bottom of it is 2009. You mean this thing's been there, him saying that for all that time, and ain't nobody said nothing about it? Like I said, I'm going to leave it alone. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about, and that's good. Don't worry about it. Because it'll burden you enough until you nag me, I'll tell you someday, but that's all right. Look, the Bible called him a false prophet. Why? Yeah, of course, he must be a false prophet by his Antichrist spirit that taught Antichrist against the original word. Because if you taught against the original word, it was Antichrist. And the word is God, see, in Christ. All right? Just proving a point. Going down, number 10, 9. And he vindicates his word, third seal, and brings it. They knew they'd rise again. Oh, how I like that. They'll rise again. Here comes the black horse rider now, dark horse. There went the white horse. We've seen what he done perfectly. Here comes the red horse. We see exactly what he done. Here comes the black horse. You see the same rider all the time. What's he doing? Riding down through the ages, right? Riding down through the ages, number 10. Fourth seal. Last night we had the opening of the third seal. First was a white horse, next was a red horse, then a black horse, and we find out the riders were the same rider all the time, and that was the Antichrist to start with. He didn't have no crown, it was given unto him, and all like that. Let's see if I can find the one I'm looking for. All right. What is it then? But I better stop here. If I go any further, I'll be going on into what I want to bring. But what is he? Same rider. The same rider. The devil. He don't change colors. He's the same devil. Now listen. He was called the Antichrist, but he was the devil. Next, he was called a false prophet. But he's the devil. Next, he's called the Pope. But he's the devil. The Pope is not the devil personification of standing there in human flesh as we would talk about our human flesh.
Right.
That's why he can die and go to the next guy. Die and go to the next guy.
Right.
It's the devil all the way through. And the devil's not a man.
Right.
You say, well, we read that a while ago. The prophet said he was a man. Right, but he's not a man like this.
Right.
He's the anointed cherub.
Amen.
No man is a match for him. The Holy Spirit is the only one that's a match for the devil.
Right.
He's deceived every man that's ever been in the world outside the Lord Jesus Christ. And that deception was removed as a part when the Holy Ghost came. And I say part because I mean part. When that Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, Satan lost his main power. He found out he couldn't get in man. So he started setting up to the basis he's going to kill the man. He's the same rider. The horse changes colors because the white was the righteous church. The red would be the killing. The black is the doctrines and purgatories, etc., and heaven ruling, ruling over heaven and earth. And the last will be the beast. It's the same old devil. Same old devil. He's not a man. He's not a human being. He can be called a man because you're talking about him as a man or what he's doing, but he's not a human being. Do you agree?
That's right, amen.
So he has to enter man. So in the first seal, he entered man and received a crown. Under the first seal, that a crown was given unto him. Read your Bible. He became a crowned pope under your first seal. An antichrist spirit to a false prophet to a crowned pope. All right? That's your symbols of the white horse rider. And the white horse, excuse me. And the bow and no arrows. And the symbol of a crown was given him. But when you come to the second seal, let's read it over again. We'll take just a minute. Verse 4. And there went out another horse that was red. Watch. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. Now that had to be permitted of God. Because he has no power, but he permitted it because of what it was going to bring to place. Watch. Set thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. He started riding to kill. Let's just go. Go ahead. Let's pick it up. Go ahead with number 11. I'll go just for a little bit and then quit. I don't want to tire you, but I want to get a point. Let's go to number 11. Now let's go to the second seal. When the slain, risen lamb opened its like, come see what, and you see the lamb, you remember, has to open every seal. Now Brother Branham didn't open the seals. The lamb opened the seals. All right, go to the next, 12. All right. Now to my understanding, this great sword that he had in his hand, now we got about three things to look at now. For about the next 15, 20 minutes, let's just read and see what he says. Now he reads the scripture. It's given unto him a great sword. Now there are symbols here, and we want to look at them real close. But to my understanding, the best that I know, now you see, Jesus predicted the same thing in Matthew 24. And he said, now you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars, and just wars and rumors of wars and wars. You're going to keep hearing them over and over, all the way down through there. Why? Because that's what it's going to be. That's what it's going to be. Because that's what he's doing. Wars, he's given power. Look at the next one. Now here's my revelation. This is the second seal, so just read it. This is Satan again. It's the devil again in another form. Now the Hershey Rider. What? Now what's he doing? Now we know that that seal pertains. I said the other night, trumpets pertain to civil war, see, amongst the people, among nations. But you find out here that this man has a sword, so he pertains to church political war. Church political. Now, you might not think that, but just watch it a minute, just a few minutes. Notice the change of the color of these horses. Same rider, color off, change of color to horses. Horse is a beast, and beast in the Bible is a symbolic. The same system riding on another color power. Went from innocent white to red. Go to the next. The council was held, and they elected a head bishop. And by doing this, they united church and state together. Now, I said that a while ago, but I want you to read it. Church and state is when you come together for the killing. Not because he just started out a pope. It takes time. Watch. Then he dropped his bow. Kind of odd, ain't it? You know, no arrows anyway. But he dropped it. He got off his white horse, and he got on his red horse, where he can kill anybody that don't agree with him. After what? Church and state. Right? Come on. Oh my, same fella. Watch him go right on into eternity. You under with it? You know, it's both his powers together. The same thing they're trying to do right now. Go ahead to the next. This is from the second seal, paragraph 287 to 89. Now, Brother Leavell, you and your teachers, you and you teachers here, of the Nicene age in the early church. I don't know if you read this or not. If you want to read it, you get in Smucker's Glorious Reformation. You find it that when St. Augustine of Hippo became a priest under the Roman church, watch now, had the opportunity to at one time, the Holy Spirit tried to come on him. You mean it tried to come on him and he didn't have it? I need to stop right there and preach about 3 hours. That's why when you come down here to pray, and you're going to be praying for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I don't want somebody down here shouting all around you and screaming and hollering and patting you on the back and hollering and telling you to turn loose and let go or whatever. I want your mind on God. Because you can drive the Holy Spirit away. Does that explain what he's saying? Did not Judas Iscariot have an opportunity to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Come on. No, because he done it. No. He had it. But he killed his own self before he went to to the upper room.
Right.
Now, if you don't believe it, listen. I just stopped there to express that. See? The man had an opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit, even tried to come on him. He rejected it. Watch what happened to him. How many knows that as a teacher? So he rejected the Holy Spirit. So if he rejected the Holy Spirit, he must have thought he already had it. That's why I said I didn't have time to preach the message. Come on, he must have thought he already had it. He rejected it. You're reading your prophet, not me. Now we're going to read the rest of it. He must have thought he already had it. How many of you do not think you already got it? I've seen a lot of people that told me they had the Holy Ghost, but when the word was presented, they turned it down. I can't believe they got it when they turned down the word. Brother got mad at me and told me, he said, won't come here to church. And I told him he didn't have the Holy Ghost. I said, no, I didn't. I did not. I said, I don't believe in anybody with the Holy Ghost. Act like you do. You said, well, that was the same thing. No, it wasn't. I put it back in his laps whether he had it or not. Because I can't tell you whether you got it or not. I'm the only one in this building that I know has got the Holy Ghost. I don't know if anybody else in here has got it. Because I'm the only one that's got the personal experience. You said, what do you mean? I mean, you got to say the same thing. Come on, are we quoting the prophet? He said, if I don't be one out of Georgia, I'm going. Y'all better find you another state. Because I'm going. But now, Brother Ray, you got to go to another state. But see, you turn around and say, well, Brother Dale, I believe you're going to make it. But I don't know about myself. Well, then you don't have it. Right. Come on. You don't like me to stop and start preaching, don't you? You let me read quotes. But do you know whether you're born again or not? And upon what basis do you put it? What if it would be that the words you hear would determine whether or not you could receive the Holy Ghost? Give me scripture. The disciples heard the word. They took it and held it. And the Holy Ghost came on 120. When Jesus was seen of over 500 brethren. Right. After his resurrection, 380 didn't get there.
Right.
Why?
Right.
Come on, mathematics. 380 didn't make it. Something was wrong. They didn't have the word planted right or something. Little Brown said God will give the Holy Ghost to the person that's got an honest and a sincere heart. So evidently this guy didn't have one. Why? Because he thought he had it. You said that's your assumption. Well, what's yours? Come on, what's your assumption? What do you think it is? Why didn't the Holy Ghost come on the man? He tried to. Pull it back up, brother. He had the opportunity to at one time, the Holy Spirit tried to come on him, and he rejected it. How many knows that as a teacher, so he rejected the Holy Spirit? That's exactly what a type of the Protestant church today that's rejected the Holy Ghost. Now, that's what he said. What happened then to this man that done that? He went back down to Hippo, and he was the very one that signed that paper that had the revelation from God that it was all right and pleasing God to put every person to death that didn't believe with the Roman Catholic Church. Huh? But yet he turned down the Holy Ghost. He said God told him that. Now listen, I'm quoting from Martyrology from the time of St. Augustine of Hippo until 1586. So in there somewhere he was a 500 and something, or maybe whatever you want to call the Dark Ages or whatever you want to deal with. I don't know. On the Roman Martyrology, the Roman Catholic Church put 68 million Protestants to death. Was his sword red? Was he riding a red horse? What was it? the same power, the same writer, there's the seal. They admit $68 million on the martyrology besides all those put to death outside of that. And mercy, during the dark ages, there were millions fed to lions and slaughtered in every way because they wouldn't bow down to that Catholic dogma. What about it, church? What about it? But could we turn down the Holy Ghost and it trying to come upon us? No, Brother Dale, I cried and I prayed and I laid in the altar and I fasted. So did I. For 2 years. Well, I just take it because I'm in the message. I believe the prophet. I don't mean this wrong, but it is a good point. Come to Lula and sit down a little while and find out whether you believe the message or not. You know what? Come and sit down a while and see whether you believe the truth or not. Just like we finished the other day, our Sunday on the Daniel 70 weeks. Putting together everything the prophet had to say about it. Well, I just don't believe it your way. What about it, church? Go to the next. Let me get this couple more. 16, 17, 18. I'll be all right. Second seal, notice. They should kill one another and they should kill each other. His bow had no arrows at first, but his great sword did. And he done his killing later and changed from white horse to a red horse. The same exactly devil with his swords. Keeps coming back to me, so I want to make sure and put it on here. I was quoting a while ago thinking that St. Augustine came in at 15-something. St. Augustine came in before 15-something. It was up to 15-something that they done the killing. All right. I want to keep that straight. Because somebody come along and say he don't know what his ages are. Well, okay. I do know enough of the Holy Spirit for him to bring that back to me.
Amen.
All right. What did Jesus say? He said, they that take the sword will perish by it. Don't fight back. You remember Judas? You remember all of them in the garden? You remember Peter when he grabbed a sword? There's only one in the crowd. Peter had it. He cut off the man's ear. Jesus picked the ear and put it back up on him. He said, you take the sword, you'll die by it. Look. Jesus that night when he told, said that, and Peter took his sword, and just like he did, just go ahead. Now remember, he's got a sword. He's going forth, a sword in his hand, riding red horse, wading through the blood of everybody that disagrees with him. Now, do you understand it? How many understands what that seal is? Do you understand it? What's the next one? They that take the sword will die, will be slain by the sword. They took the sword of dogma and Antichrist and cut down the real true worshipers all down through the ages by the millions. And when Christ comes with a sword, for it is a sword that proceeds out of his mouth, he will slay every enemy there is before him. You believe it? He's killing. All right, let's get to the last one. Oh, there's two more. He says these are correct, so we'll get to the last part. There's the second seal. He said, it's thus saith the Lord. Paul, go to the next, number 18, and then we'll quit. Listen to what he said. If I only had time, I'll try a few places to show you all. This is on the seventh seal, preached in 63, 324, the evening service. I'll show you all the way back from Genesis, this seventh chapter. Watch, this seventh seal is spoke of. From the very beginning in Genesis, this seventh, all right, it's the seventh seal. But watch, these seals moved right up. So it started back there. So what happened with Cain and Abel? Cain killed Abel because of his doctrine. Somebody brings a doctrine to you and you get mad and upset. Cain, you got a problem. Don't let it go too far. You ain't going to tell me I believe the prophet's message. Well and good. But so does the devil believe every word Brother Brown said. And he knows a whole lot more about it than you and I do. See, Cain killed Abel. There was your first blood. That started and set a stage to where that it would come down through there, that it wouldn't be nothing but, like the prophet said, wars and rumors of war. Throughout the Old Testament, it was wars and wars and wars and wars and war. Brother Tom, he said, them old war stories, that's what you'd say, because you'd read them. David killing. What was David's problem, the reason David couldn't build God a house? Come on. Said, you've shed too much blood. Said, Solomon will build me a house. Been the blood. It's always been the blood. It's been killing all the way down. Fighting and murdering, just slaughtering. Even here in America, the war between the states lost more Americans. But both sides were Americans, right? More Americans killed than had ever been killed in any kind of a war. And they were just shooting bullets at each other and cannons and stuff. I was thinking about it when it talks about over there in Israel, the valley of, what is it? But it'd be the Megiddo. It says the blood will run to the bridle's mouth of a horse. If you laid a horse on the ground, it would take a lot of blood to run that far. I mean, lay the horse on the ground. What if you stood it up? But Brother Dean and Sister Peggy and my wife, Peggy and myself, we were standing there. And I thought about that one place has been destroyed and rebuilt 20-something times. I thought, how much blood has been shed in this valley? Millions of people slaughtered over all those years in that one valley. If you had all of that blood there at one time. And that valley's not no little old bitty thing. You stand over in one side, in the middle of it, and you see either side, and 12 miles is your limitations of eyesight. And it gets pretty thin going out on each side. Ain't no little bitty valley. It's a big monstrosity of a valley. But you put all of the blood that had ever been shed in that valley, you bring it back at one time, and it'd run real deep. The church, the word is what's right. A red horse killing. Destroying. Governmental power given to a pope brought him into a being that he could kill. What about all of the billions that he's killed with his doctrine? Do you see the second seal? That's why it's a red horse. And that's why he's able to take power, was given into him to take control of the earth and to kill with it. Every war that's ever been fought is over some form of a religious matter. Whether it be between Iraq and Iran or what it be, you know. Or whether it be here in America when we're fighting our own brothers. Brothers on either side shooting and killing each other. Same thing that happened in the garden. Right there at the edge of it when Cain killed Abel. That red horse has been riding ever since. And it'll ride right down through here and kill all that's left. But you see, the life's battle is going to be the Lord's. For they that take the sword will die by it. Come on, brothers. God's going to take a sword and wipe his whole thing off one day. Going to be a lot of blood. But what about it? The whole point, see, that I needed to spend a lot of time on. Do you know whether or not you have the Holy Ghost? Could you reject it? What is the doctrine of most of the people of this message? Now, I ain't saying everybody. You know that. What's the biggest portion of the doctrine of the people of this message about the baptism of the Holy Ghost? If you believe Brother Branham was a prophet, you got the Holy Ghost. Now, that's their doctrine. That's not mine. I said that's of the people of the message. If you believe Brother Branham was a prophet, you believe you got the Holy Ghost. Well, what else, Brother Dale, can I believe? The word the prophet brought. He come to straighten out the fallacies, not make more. You know what I was just saying a while ago was right? A lot of you have left churches and come here when you know that it was said you left the Word when you left that place. And if you left that Word, you didn't have no hopes of being saved. Oh. I didn't know my brother said that. Well, don't be blind. Don't be blind, folks. Be honest. And say, Lord, help me. I've told you this, what, how many thousands of times? I'd rather go through life seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Every day of my life, I seek God for more of Him. Every prayer I pray, Lord, is more of You. I'd rather seek God all my life. Find out when I get down to the end of it, as He said, well, you had it all along. Than to not seek Him at all and get down to the end of the road and Him say, depart from me, I never knew you. People laid hands on me and told me, said, Brother Dale, I believe you got the Holy Ghost. That wasn't enough for me. I had to have my own experience. Something Satan can't argue about. And where I know where I stand. What about you? Go ahead. Let's stand together.
377 in Spiralbrook.
377 in Spiralbrook. Anybody have a need? The altar's open.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know it is the spirit of the Lord.
Somebody got to pick it up. We're too slow.
There's a secret expression.
What's the page number?
And I know the presence.
277. Right. The one to pray.
when you say, I am going to walk with Jesus all the way.
Right, sing it unto him now.
We lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived. We shall leave this place.
Right, anybody have a need?
If you say from your sins, from your
it when we leave this place, won't we? We'll realize truth. It'll all be over with then. We'll realize realization. Let's sing one more, then we've got to go.
360. Greater is he that is in me.
Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me.
Some troubles, and he just needs your prayers, and the Lord would take care of him, you know, and make all things well, because that's what we need, and we believe the truth. It's going to bear out it all as well, so we thank the Lord. You're dismissed. Just pray one for another. Remember, the service is Sunday. Pray the day of Pentecost.